Christmas is a unique holiday. It's a unique holiday because whether you're religious or non-religious, it seems that Christmas is a celebration, a time of year that everyone can celebrate. And whether you're in a religious home or a non-religious home, and you look at all the festivities around this time of year, there's probably very little that would separate someone who's religious and someone who's non-religious. You know, we have things like the Christmas tree, and you have lights and decorations, and you have family and feasting. You have traditions like whether that's stockings or maybe certain kinds of food, a Christmas cake or a Christmas pie. And of course, the kids won't let me forget gifts as something that is part of the Christmas season. That anticipation for Christmas Eve and waiting up for Christmas morning and getting up nice and early. Mom and Dad just want to go to sleep, but the kids are up really early on Christmas morning. And whether you're in a home that acknowledges Christ as Savior and Lord or not, many of these things look the same. But there's one thing missing from all non-religious celebrations of Christmas. And it's actually been a theme that we've been singing about over and over again tonight and reading from God's Word. There's one word that rings out on almost all the hymns that we sang tonight. And it describes us. And the word is sin or sinners. And that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Because what's different between a Christian who celebrates Christmas and a non-Christian who celebrates Christmas is that the Christian is not only remembering the coming of Christ, but the reason why Christ came. And the reason why Christ came was to save sinners. And I want to read to you a text from 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, and it says this. 1 Timothy 1:15, the Word of God says, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance." Okay, in other words, listen to this. This is important. "That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Did you catch that? Jesus Christ came into the world as a baby, born of the Virgin Mary, on a mission to save sinners. That's why he came into the world. He came into the world not just to be as a child or be an example or to be a nice little figurine in the house, but he came into the world to grow up to be a man and to go to that cross, to be executed, to be mocked and ridiculed and scorned, and not only to suffer the effects of Roman persecution and crucifixion, but the wrath of the Father upon him, so he might save his people as a substitute, so that God can be just in punishing sin. Now we talk about Jesus and the reason that he came to save sinners. Now so often this message is excluded from Christmas at large or Christmas in our society or what's celebrated at our culture is because this message is seen as bad. And why is it bad? Because it's not really bad, it's actually good, if you know what I mean. It's good because we're sinners and Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, but it's bad because the message is you're a sinner and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. And as soon as we hear that, we're like, that's bad. Let's just remove that from Christmas. I don't want to think about that. And perhaps you're here tonight and you're thinking, oh boy, I didn't come here to be preached to. And I know what you mean by that. You didn't come here to have someone behind this wooden box to tell you you're a sinner. People don't like that. But if you don't understand that, you will never understand why we celebrate Christmas. And why Christmas is such a good news, because Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And so I didn't come here just to point the finger at you. I myself stand here as a sinner, as Paul wrote. He said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. So I myself am a sinner in need of Christ's salvation. But this message doesn't sound very good to our ears. That we're sinners and that we need saving. The other hero of Christmas, of course, beside Jesus, is Santa Claus, right? And Santa Claus is not seen as offensive to our culture. You know, even though, you know, Santa Claus runs a sweatshop, you know, working those elves all year long to build his toys and to give it out on this day of the year. That doesn't cause us any squeam, or, you know, must make us squeamish. And not even does it make us offended when we consider that Santa even has a list. And he knows who's naughty or nice. And we know that he's going to reward those who are good, and he's going to deprive those, or not give a good gift, not give a gift at all, to those who are naughty or bad. And so we better be good for goodness sake. That kind of message is not offensive, right? Because last year I've been pretty good, and so if Santa was real, then I'd be on his good list, of course. Because if I was to grade myself according to all the people around me, I can think of lots of people who are worse than me. And I'm certainly average, maybe above average even, I think, you know, if I'm honest with myself. And so Santa would definitely have me on his good list. And it makes sense for us to have a God or Santa to have a list of who's nice and who's naughty. And we're nice, and so we're going to get gifts. Nothing offensive with that. But when Jesus proclaims, "I'm come to save sinners, and all of you are wretched sinners who need saving, and you're all on the naughty list," and we think, oh, that's not good. Let's just remove Jesus, and we'll keep Santa. And you think about all the world religions. All the world religions have a Santa Claus kind of way of salvation. That if you're good, God is going to accept you and reward you with eternal life or paradise, wherever it might be. And so all you have to do is, on the balances of life, just do more good. Stay away from some of those really bad, nasty stuff that only the worst of the worst do. And if you stay away from that, you're going to be on God's good list, and he's going to reward you. But that's not the message of Christianity. And Christianity sticks out like a sore thumb when you consider all the other religions of the world. When it says, all of us are sinners. That none of us seek after God, that there's none righteous, no, not one, and you need a Savior. You can't work it up from within you. You can't try to turn a new leaf or work harder or just shape yourself according to some ideal, model or example, and then God is going to look on you with favor. The Christian message is we're stuck in our trespasses and sin, and we need a Savior, and that's why Jesus Christ came into the world. And so this message, the Christmas message, unsettles us. Because unless you admit that you're a sinner, Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, is not a time of blessing and rejoicing. How can it be? Because Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now think about that. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now this might sound shocking, but Jesus didn't come into this world to save everyone. Okay? Jesus didn't come into this world to save everyone. Even from Jesus' own lips in the gospel, he said, "I came not for the righteous, but for sinners. I came not for those who are well and those who don't think they need a physician, but I came for the sick." That's what Jesus said. He didn't come for everyone. If you don't think you're a sinner, Jesus Christ didn't come for you. He came for sinners. He came to save sinners. And so do you consider yourself a righteous person? Do you consider yourself a good person? Do you consider yourself average or maybe above average when you consider yourself before God? Jesus didn't come for good people. Jesus didn't come to save good people. He didn't come to save the righteous. Jesus came to save sinners. Maybe you think, well, what is a sinner? What is a sinner? A sinner is someone who knows that when they stand before God, that they're guilty. They're guilty. Romans 3 talks about how we stand before God, and God opens the books, and he reveals all of our actions, all of our words, all of our thoughts. It says our mouth is going to be closed. You know, got nothing to say in your defense. A sinner is someone who knows that they're guilty before God. They know that they are deserving of God's wrath and his justice. and that they deserve hell because they have not loved God the way that He's deserved to be loved. They have not taken God's good gifts and given Him thanks for all these things that He's given to us. We've not honored Him and worshipped Him as God. We've not followed His laws and His statutes and His rules, which He gave us for our good and our flourishing. We're rebels, and we stand guilty. And you have to ask yourself, is that you? Are you a sinner? Do you see yourself as a sinner before a holy God? Not as a sinner next to your neighbor, but as a sinner before God, your Creator, your Maker, who made you to glorify Him. Now, if this is you, then I don't want you to despair. That's what we think. Think, oh boy, I'm guilty, I'm a sinner, I'm terrible, I'm just going to despair. But this is when the true joy and blessing of Christmas hits us with its full force. Because Jesus Christ came to save you, sinner. He came to save the guilty. He came to heal the sick. And so we should rejoice. I want to read to you the rest of that passage. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, "Saying is trustworthy, deserving of full acceptance. You should believe this and cling on to it, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." And it continues and says this, "But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, the way that they use English here is probably not the same way we use it every single day. Maybe trying to wrap your head around what I just read there. But Paul here writing says that he received mercy. He was forgiven by God, even though he was the foremost of sinners, so that he might be an example to all of us as we believe upon Him, as we believe upon Jesus Christ, and that He came by His death and by His resurrection, that He came to save sinners. And we can look at Paul and say, God saved him. Look at what he was a blasphemer of God. He persecuted the church, guilty of murder before God. And God saved him as an example of the people God saves, sinners, who come to God in faith and repentance, and God grants them eternal life so that you might have hope, and so that all glory and praise might go to God. This is the Christmas message. This is what God, this is what we celebrate, that God sent His Son on a rescue mission so that He might be seen as the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, and to Him be honor and glory forever and ever. Now, is this not the best news you've ever heard? If you're a sinner, and if you know you're a sinner, then this is the best news you've ever heard. Our God is great. And when you consider this message, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and when you recognize your guilt before God, it should make you want to run to Him. Not away from Him, but run to Him for mercy and grace. Because this is what He came to do, to save sinners. This is what He's doing even now. And so will you continue to live in the delusion that you're a good person, that you don't need Jesus, that you don't need a radical transformation in your life, that you don't need His Holy Spirit to come and invade you and to give you new desires, to forgive you of your sin? Are you going to maintain the delusion that you don't need God, that you're okay on your own, and then you're going to stand before Him one day in judgment, and you think that's going to go well? Jesus came to save sinners. And so I implore you this evening, as you enjoy all the traditions and enjoy all the celebrations, and you remember Jesus' birth, that you remember the reason why He came. He came into the world to save sinners. And I hope that you be able to sing and to rejoice and to count that as a blessing because, hey, I'm a sinner. And Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and praise God that He can bestow upon us eternal life. Not that we deserve it, not that we've earned it, but that Jesus Christ came and purchased that for us. And we're called to believe upon Him, to receive Him, to worship Him, and to live for Him. Let's pray. Oh God, I'm thankful that so often in Scripture, Jesus Himself and the apostles after Him say so very plainly why He came. And I pray if anything that we remember here tonight as we sing all these familiar songs, we sing about our Lord Jesus Christ and Your honor and glory, these angels singing, the virgin birth, that we would leave here remembering that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And that we, like Paul, would be able to say, yes, I'm a sinner. I need the salvation of Christ. I thank You for the salvation that I have in Christ. I thank You for His rescue, His forgiveness, and His promise of eternal life. Oh God, grant us faith to cling to Christ in this season and throughout the rest of our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.